This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Bruchim Abam, welcome to the Kailal Igud Perka here in Kew Garden Hills, New York. Already in its second decade. And whatever locations you saw last night, they came after us. Just remember that. Okay, so Parshas Toldos. So Rivka's waiting many years to have a child, and Yitzchak davened for her, and finally she conceived, and she's expecting, and the children are struggling, they're kicking. And she can't take it anymore. If so, what do I need this for? So she goes to seek out Hashem. So the first question is, what does it mean the kids were kicking, and therefore she said, if so, what do I need it for? What did she expect? She thought that having a child would be like going for a massage. She thought it was going to make her life more pleasant. She thought it was going to be a walk in the park. That's what children do. That's what kids do. That's what pregnancy is all about. Ever since Chava ate that first fruit, you know, pregnancy was not the most pleasant experience. What exactly did Rivka think it was going to feel like? She said, if so, what do I need this for? So we're all familiar with what Rashi brings from Chazal, that this ritza, this struggling, was that when she was passing by a house of Avodah Zarah, somebody was kicking to come out. And when she passed by the Pesach of Torah of Shem Ve'Ever, Yaakov was kicking to come out. And she didn't realize that she was going to, she was having twins. So she figured she's having one kid who's schizophrenic or something. One kid who can't make up his mind. Does he want to go to Avodah Zarah? Does he want to go to learn? So this was very disturbing to Rivka. So she needed consolation. She wanted to understand the meaning behind this. What was in store for her progeny? So the pasuk continues, Vayomer Hashem la. God said to her. By the way, Rashi learns, God said to her, Al Yidei Shliach, Rashi says, through shame. Why doesn't Rashi learn the pasuk Kipshutei, God said to her? Because Rivka was not a Neviya. If you look in the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yadalad, it lists the seven Neviyos. Rivka was not one of them. Sarah was a Neviya. By the way, does anybody know, how many times did God ever speak to Sarah in the Chumash? Once. And what did He tell her? You laughed. That was her nevuah. You laughed. You laughed. That was her prophecy. But Rivka was not a nevuah. Rachel was not a nevuah. Leah was not a nevuah. So therefore Rashi has to learn. That's what the Chesed Avram says. Pshan Rashi. So God sent her a message. Shnei goyim bivitneich. Two regimes are in your womb. Ushnei le'umim, two nationalities, mimeyayach yiparedu, will separate from your loins. Ula'oy me'loy mi'amatz, one will be stronger than the other. V'rav ya'avoyt so'er. The older one will serve the younger one. Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld says, that was like, you know, when a woman is pregnant, and she has a craving on Yom Kippur, so we whisper in her ear, you know, it's Yom Kippur. So Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld learns, V'rav ya'avoyt so'er, this was like a whisper we gave, because the kids were going, they were at each other's throats. Yaakov wanted to go for it. Esau wanted it. So we whispered, relax. The one who goes out first is going to serve the smaller one. So they backed off. Once they heard V'rav Yavoy Tzoyer, they calmed down a little bit. Anyway, that's how Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld learns. But let's think about what's happening over here. Rivka is very disturbed. She's very distressed. She thinks she's going to have one child who can't make up his mind, who's wishy-washy, who is running to go to the Beis HaMedrash, who's running to go to the house of Avodah Zarah, and she doesn't understand what kind of child she's going to have. So listen to what they tell Rivka. You know what they tell Rivka? Don't worry! Relax! Everything's going to be great! One child is going to be the Gadol Hadar, and the other child is going to be a mass murderer like Hitler, and he's going to bring Inquisition, pogrom, and all Jewish tragedy will come out from your other child. Ah, Baruch Hashem, Basura Taiva. Whatever she was worried about, exactly what calmed her down when she heard Shnei Goyim Bevenech. So now she has a picture. One kid is going to be the Tzadik Hadar, and the other kid is going to bring all Jewish misfortune. What exactly relieved Rivka when she heard that she's going to have an Esav? So comes Rashi, and Rashi said, oh, you know what relieved Rivka? Listen to this. Shnei Goyim Bevenech. Goyim geyim ksiv. Kemoy geyim. Majestic, regal personalities. Who are we referring to? Elu Antoninos v'Rebbe. This refers to Rebbe and Antoninos. Antoninus referring to Marcus Aurelius Antoninus, who lived from 161 to 180 of the Common Era. You know what's so special about these individuals? Shalai pasku me'al shulchanam leitznoin v'loi chazeres. There never was removed from their table not radishes and not lettuce. They ate their veggies. So Rivka said, Baruch Hashem, I'm going to have descendants who eat a lot of vegetables. Right? You like vegetables, right? So, Iveres, so therefore, Loi Vimois HaChama, V'Loi Vimois HaGeshamim. So Rivka said, Baruch Hashem, Yiddish and Nachas, Kinderlach that eat lettuce, Kinderlach that eat radishes, and the story ends happily ever after. So this is a very difficult episode. Certainly, Rivka had what to be scared of. She didn't know the direction of her child. Would the child turn to the right, to Torah? Would the child turn to the left? And she seemed to have understood that she was going to have an Esav, which is hard to imagine what exactly relieved her when she understood she was going to have an Esav. And it seems that the relief she had is because they told Rivka, understand, Rivka, that even though you're going to bring Esav into the world, but there is a redeeming quality in Esav. What's the redeeming quality of Esav? Marcus Aurelius Antoninus. Now, certainly, he was a great benefactor of the Jewish people. But if we were to think about important gerim that emerged from Esav, I don't think that Marcus Aurelius Antoninus, who, by the way, we don't have any evidence yet that he even did convert, yet, would be the top of the list. Certainly there have been many great converts from Esav. You have Nero Caesar, when he was about to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, he ran away, he fled, he converted, and who came from Nero Caesar? The mayor came from Esav, and Shmaya Avtalion came from Esav, and Onklus Hager came from Esav. But Marcus Aurelius Antoninus, you would not have thought would have been top of the list, that this would be the most important person that came from Esav. And it seems that no, that when Rivka was worried, when Rivka was concerned, and she was disconcerted, what relieved her was the fact that out of her would come Rebbe and Antoninus. So what is the meaning of this? Now we know that Rebbe and Antoninus had a very unique relationship. We're again talking about Marcus Aurelius Antoninus, whose father was the previous emperor, Antoninus Pius, who adopted him and then took him as a son-in-law. Now, Antoninus Pius, in contradistinction to his predecessors, was a person of exceptional kindliness. And Rav Victor Miller, in his book, Exalted People, writes that even looking at the features of his face, you see a benevolence which was far into the faces of other emperors. And Marcus Aurelius Antoninus wrote a book which has not been published by Art School yet. It's called Meditations of Marcus Aurelius. But he exceedingly loved to engage in the study of wisdom. And Rav Miller suggests that he was inspired by reading the translation, the Greek translation of the Bible. And Rav Miller suggests that probably when Rebbe, as it says in the Gemara, in Rosh Hashanah on Chavav Malf, says he went overseas, probably when Rebbe was in Rome, he met Antoninus, and Antoninus was very impressed with him. And for a short amount of time, Antoninus lived in Caesarea. Rebbe was in Sipairi, they were nearby. And a historical fact is, even though they would like you to believe, that our cousins have been digging these tunnels, these new tunnels that have never existed, the underground tunnel system in Israel has abounded since time immemorial. They were famous during the wars of Beitar. There's an entire tunnel system throughout the land of Israel, which has lasted for centuries already. And Antoninus used this tunnel system to study and have a chavrusa shaft with Rebbe. And that is reported in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Amud Beis. The Gemara says, Havalei hahi nakarta dhava aile mi beisei lebeis Rebbe. Antoninus had an underground tunnel that went from his home to Rebbe's home. And how often did they learn? Kol yoyma hava maisi, every day. Not just like over here, we get together Monday through Thursday, also Sunday, also Friday, Shabbos also. They got together, and Antoninus needed protection. So he brought with him two avodim. One eved he killed when he got to Rebbe's house, and one eved he killed when he got back. He didn't want anyone to blow his cover. Tosfos asks if Antonis is such a good guy, he's basically the biggest murderer in the history of the world. That's two a day. That's, you know, over 500 a year. So Tosfos said he found avodim that were chayiv misa anyway. So he never killed an innocent soul. That's Tosfos. Gavra, yeah. So anyway, Antoninus told Rebbe, do me a favor, when I come to learn, I don't want anybody there. Nobody should know about it. So one day he comes, and sure enough, someone's standing there, Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama. So Antoninus said, didn't I tell you I don't want anyone to be here when I come? So Rebbe said, well, you said you don't want any human to be here when I come. He ain't no human. Rebbe said, Antoninus said, what do you mean he ain't no human? So he said, look, you'll see what I mean. Go say, they sent him, to the Eved that's sleeping by the door, tell him to get up. Now this Eved happened to have been in a very deep sleep. He was sleeping so deep, he was dead. That's how deep he was sleeping, because he had previously killed him. So Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama goes, no, wake up. He gives man Kriya Shema Shel Shacharis, he says. So the guy didn't wake up, and he realized that he was dead. So now Rabbi Chanina ben Chama has a big dilemma. He says, what should I do? To go and tell Antoninus that he's dead. There's a rule when you're sent on a mission, you're not allowed to come back with bad news. Ein meshiv nakakala. Elamai, I shouldn't report back. I'm mezalzel b'malchus. So what did Rabbi Chanina bar Chama do? He said, shelam alois mi mamakir, right? And the guy woke up. So Rabbi Antoninus said, I see the smallest among you could be mechaye mesim. But, Antonina said, do me a favor, when I say I don't want anyone here, I mean I don't want anyone here. I don't care, you know, what kind of angelic rabbis you want to bring. Fine. So every day the Gemara says, Rebbe was fed by Antoninus. Antoninus brought him to drink. When Rebbe needed to get up onto his bed, Antoninus bent down on the floor. He said, climb on my back, step on my back. So Rebbe said, it's not derech eretz for me to step on the back of the king. He said, if only I would be your doormat in Olam Haba. By the way, Rebbe, am I going to go to Olam Haba? So Rebbe said, yeah. Antonina said, what are you talking about? But the Pasuk says there will be no remnant of the house of Esav in the future. Says Rabbi, no, that's when you act like Esav. But you don't act like Esav. You will in fact have a share in the world to come. We know that Rivka was told prophetically, V'rav Yavitzar, the older one will serve the younger one. When exactly was that fulfilled? When exactly did Esav serve Yaakov? Was Esav fanning Yaakov while Yaakov reclined and Esav grilled him and fed him grapes? No, Esav never served Yaakov Avinu. So when was it fulfilled, V'rav Yavitzar? During these 19 years, when Marcus Aurelius Antoninus had this Chavrusashaft, the 17 years actually, when Rebbe lived in Sipoiri, it came to fruition, the great prophecy of Rivka, that she heard from Shem, V'rav Yavitzar. Now, we have to understand that this was probably the greatest phenomenon and most important phenomenon that ever happened in the history of Klal Yisrael. Because in Rebbe's predecessors had such oppression from Roman occupation that not only was there no real Nasi, there was no Reish Masifta even. The yeshiva system was weak. The yeshivas were fledgling. The Torah leadership was fledgling. And they were not able to employ a Reish Masifta. Even Rebbe's father could not become the Reish Masifta. However, once Rebbe gained the respect of Antoninus, so now for the first time in a very long time, Rebbe was able to become the Reish Masifta. Rebbe was able to become the Nasi. Rebbe was now able to gather all the Tanoim in Eretz Yisrael and redact the Mishnayos, which preserved the future of Klal Yisrael. And it's only because Rebbe gained the friendship of Marcus Aurelius Antoninus. So in fact, this was one of the most miraculous events and phenomena in the history of Klal Yisrael. If you take a look, Rav Miller writes, in paragraph 419, in Exalted People, the relationship between Rebbe and the Emperor Marcus Aurelius, which the sage related at length, was a most remarkable episode. In vain would one seek a mention of it in Roman histories, for it would have been suicidal for any prominent Roman, let alone emperor, to be known that he was going to shiurim from Rebbe. So this is not recorded in their history, but this was kept undercover, and only the close Talmidim of Rebbe knew about this. Now, in paragraph 420. Marcus Aurelius resided for a time in the land of Israel, in Caesarea, when Rebbe was at Sipari. And a most unusual episode in history transpired at that time. The Roman emperor became the devoted disciple of the Nasi by means of one of the underground tunnels which abound in the land of Israel and which were famous in the war of Beitar. Antoninus visited the teacher frequently. How frequently? The Gemara says, B'chol Yoim. And sought his counsel not only in matters of mind and soul, but also in the affairs of government. The relationship between these two was a perilous secret, which was never divulged to anyone except the Rebbe's closest disciples. Now was fulfilled, paragraph 421. The true function as of Esav, the elder shall serve the younger. Had Esav been Mekayim that himself, then history would have been very different than it was. But at least for 20 years, for 17 years of Jewish history, this great prophecy was fulfilled and was accomplished, the greatest achievement, and that is the closing of the Mishnah. Now, 423, because of the emperor's protection, and solely because of it, Rebbe was able to become Reish Masifta, which his father never became. Who was Rebbe's father? Reb Shimon Gamliel. Because of Rome's hostility. This extraordinary turn of events, whereby the office of Nasi was restored, so overjoyed the nation that they gave Yehuda a new name, Nasi, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, and they called him Rebbe. Why was he called Rebbe? What better name could one have than Rebbe? Who else was called Rebbe? Moshe Rabbeinu. It's only because for the first time since Moshe Rabbeinu, it was Torah Ugedula B'makom Echad. Not since Moshe Rabbeinu did you have the Rebbe also having the financial and political power that Rebbe was able to have. So now Rebbe was not afraid of nobody, not from the Goyim, not from the Romans, and not from the Yidden. How in the world could any great Torah leader command the respect of the Jewish people if he's financially or politically dependent on them? How in the world could any rabbi have any influence if they are paying his salary? How could any Rosh Yeshiva have any influence if he has to come on and take government money? It's impossible. That's why the institution of Jewish leadership is not the way it should be, and not the way it was in its great glory in the times of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi and times of Moshe Rabbeinu. So, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi recognized the hand of God, his father had not been able to be the Reish Masifta, and Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi, who was respected by the Romans and was the Reish HaMedabrim, had died. The miracle of Antoninus' appearance had to be utilized without delay. Rebbe took command of the position, and he redacted the Mishnah, and he preserved Klal Yisrael. So if you want to know why Rivka was consoled, when she heard, Shnei Goyim Bevitnech, Rivka said like this, and this is how I like to explain it. A little bit of a novel way. Rivka is told, Rivka knew she was going to have a Yaakov and an Esav. She was going to have the Jewish people and perhaps the Christian world. But she says to herself, of what benefit is the Torah HaKadosha? If our cousins will come, if the Christians will come and co-opt and sabotage and steal the written law. After all, we all know that the Christians took the Old Testament from us. So Rivka says, Im kein lama zeh anoichi. What in the world am I going to do with anoichi Hashem Elokecha, with the Torah Shebichsav? After all, the Christians have the Torah Shebichsav, but what do they say? God abrogated the law. Deal is off. We don't have to keep it anymore. So Rivka says, lama zeh anoichi. What am I going to do with anoichi without the Torah Shebichsav? Listen to what she did. Vatelech lidroish. Es Hashem, es l'rabbis. Tamidei Chacham, she said, what's going to be with the Torah Shebaal-Peh? Lama zeh anoichi, what good is the Torah Shebichsav if I don't know what's going to be with the continuity of the law without the guardianship of the Chachamim v'atelech lidrosh es Hashem? So they told her, Rivka, don't sweat it. Shnei goyim bevitneich. Who did they tell her about? Yaakov. Rivka says, what good is Yaakov? But if we're going to be in the Golos and we're going to be embittered by Esav, we're not going to have the ability, we're not going to have the power, we're not going to have the opportunity to redact the oral law, which we know, like Karas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bris Im Yisrael, Ela B'Shvil, Torah Shebaal Peh. The Jewish people are only connected to God, not through Chumash, not through Navi, not through Ksuvim, but through Torah Shebaal Peh. The reason we're still around is because Torah Shebaal Peh. So Rivka says, what's going to be with the Torah Shebaal Peh? Lama zeh anoichi? They said, don't worry. Elu Rebbe? She said, Rebbe? What's Rebbe? The Antoninus. And Antoninus is going to come learn from Rebbe. And Antoninus is going to allow Rebbe to achieve the greatest achievement in our history, and that is the redaction of the Mishnah and the redaction of the Torah Shebaal Peh. So this is possibly the Shakla Vatarya and the back and forth between Rivka and the Yeshiva Shem Ve'Ever. Rivka is worried, what's going to be with the Torah? Lama zeh anoichi? She wants to know what's going to be the continuity of the oral law. Atelech lidroi shes Hashem. And they say, don't worry, it will be preserved. More perhaps than all the great Geirim that came out of Esav. The most important redeeming quality of Esav is the relationship that Rebbe will have with Antoninus, which will literally save the Jewish people. Okay, but now we're going to learn a little bit about what happened to Antoninus and the history of Antoninus and what his outcome was and how, in fact, he was able to come to appreciate Rebbe. Now, you ever see these commercials? I mean, you know, like for milk? You know, you have these signs. You have this guy, and he says, got milk, right? You never saw, you don't even know what I'm talking about. Good. So, got milk. They advertise milk, right? They want to sell milk. Wherever you look, they want to sell you milk. So they take an important person, and he's drinking milk. Well, throughout history, especially the last century, there's always a big debate about milk. Is milk healthy, or is milk not healthy? Is nursing good? Or is nursing not good? You know, I think, you know, like 50, 60 years ago, it was out of vogue to nurse, right? It was considered barbaric. It was considered poor people nurse. And then it came back in. Now today, now it's in vogue again. But we're going to see that Chazal consider this process one of the most elementary and fundamental processes in the development of somebody's intelligence, emotional intelligence, and appreciation for Kedusha. Take a look in number 6. The Tosfos brings a little story about Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi and Antoninus. Says Tosfos in Avodah Zarah, this is on Daf Yud, Amidbeis, Aminon B'medrash, Chalav Metame, Chalav Metaher. Kishenoilad Rebbe. When Rebbe was born, Gazru Shaloi Lamol. There was a decree that we cannot perform circumcision. Va'aviv imay maluhu, and his father and his mother circumcised him. Shalach kezar b'vila Rebbe. So the Caesar sent, and they sent after Rebbe. They wanted to bring Rebbe. V'imay lefanav v'achlifasay imay v'antoninus. So the parents didn't know what to do. Because if they bring this circumcised Rebbe in front of the Caesar, they're going to be caught having performed the mitzvah. So what they did was they exchanged Rebbe for a little boy named Antoninus. Okay? And v'hini kasai, ad sheviasai lefnei kezar. And Rebbe's mother, now this little Antoninus, he's getting a little kvetchy, he's getting a little hungry. And Rebbe's mother, who was supposedly taking Rebbe to the Caesar, meanwhile needed to nurse this child. She nursed Antoninus. So they open him up. Umatsu Aral, they find the kid is uncircumcised. Upatrum Lashalom, they let Rebbe's parents go home in peace. So the Hegmon said, I don't understand what's going on. I saw the kid had a meal. I don't know what's happening over here. It must be God made a miracle for them, and God makes miracles for them at all times, and they're the Mevatel, the Gezerah. So, amazingly, the Medrash begins, Cholav Metame, Cholav Metaher. Antoninus, the Gemara, the Tosfos feels, based on this Medrash, was influenced Latoiva because he nursed from Rebbe's mother. Says Tosfos, B'Yushalmi, Shalav Asoif, Lomad Antoninus, Torah. Ultimately, Antoninus learned Torah, V'Nezgayer, and he converted Umal Atzmai. So we see from this Medrash that what inclined the heart of Antoninus to be perceptive to Kedusha and to learn Torah was the fact that he nursed from the mother of Rebbe. Now, in the Menorahs Hamar of Rabbi Yitzchak Abuhav of 4th century Spain, he brings, 14th century, he brings, and the Menorah Samaria has been translated into many languages, Yiddish, Ladino, German. He brings a little bit of a more extensive account of this Medrash. He says, one time the Malchus made a decree, and they abolished Mila, and at that time Rebbe was born. So Rav Shim Gamliel's father said, look, we got to circumcise our kid, and these Gentiles, whatever will happen, will happen. How could we mevatel the gzera of Hashem and fulfill the gzera of this king? So the Tsar found out about it, and he calls Rav Shim Gamliel, and he says, look, I respect you, you're a good man, but what could I do? The king made a decree, I have to bring you in front of the king, and the king will do what he wants to do. Says the Menorah Samaria, they're traveling, and they get to a hotel, and they get to the father of Antoninus had a hotel chain. That was like the first Howard Johnson. And at that point of time, the Rebbe and Rebbe's father, Shingam Leon and his wife, they go into the room and they hear a little baby crying and they call out Mazel Tov in Greek. And sure enough, little Antoninus was just born. And they come out with their little baby Rebbe, and the mothers are talking. And the mother of Rebbe says, by the way, you know, we're about to appear before the Caesar because we were ordered not to circumcise our son, and that's our religion. So the mother of Antoninus took a liking to the mother of Rebbe, and she said, look, I'll do you a favor. You leave me your kid who is circumcised. I'll give you my kid who is not circumcised, and you'll save your soul. You'll save the life of your son. So v'kachava, they appear before the king. The king says, let me take a look. And the king said, what are you starting up with these people? The kid is uncircumcised. I don't know why you're giving them a hard time. And they said, Adonenu HaMelech, we could testify this kid yesterday was circumcised. But the God of the Jews, whenever they cry out to him, he answers, like the Pasuk says, they quoted chapter and verse, Mi Kashem Leikenu M'chol Karenu Elav. Anyway, they go back to the hotel. They come over there, and they said, look, if God made a miracle for your son through our son, let's make a deal that our kids will be friendly forever. They're going to have play dates together. They're going to play with... They're always going to be friendly. Says the Menorah Samaria, as a schar for the milk that Antoninus nursed from the mother of Rebbe, he was zoiche to learn Torah, and to meshamesh tamei chachamim, and to become the emperor of Rome, and to get Olam Hazeh, and to get Olam Haba. So if you ever wanted to advertise the importance of milk, you put a big poster of Antoninus, got milk, and you know, you see the success of where milk brings you to. According to Tosfos, according to Menorah Samaria, all the success, basically, we owe the whole Torah that we have today to the milk that Rebbe's mother nursed Antoninus. The Megala Amukos takes this even further. He says, we know the Megala Amukos wrote 222 perushim on the pasuk, Ebra na viare es aratz hateva asher be'ever hayadin. 222. And in his 83rd perush, he says, what was Moshe Rabbeinu davening for when he prayed, Ebra na? He foresaw the generation of Rebbe and Antoninus, that they outlawed Mila, and the Khazar wanted to see this little child Rebbe, and instead they brought Antoninus, and because of that Rebbe was saved. This was the tefillah of Moshe. Ebra na. Ebra stands for Antoninus Orel Bris Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Obviously. Ebra na. Antoninus Orel, the uncircumcised Antoninus, saved the Bris of Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Therefore, he's called Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Now, Megala Mukos is Megala. Says Megala Mukos, because Antoninus is the Gilgal of Esav. So now, it's not just... So you may ask, if Rivka was told, V'rav Yavoid Sawyer, so why didn't it happen to these children, Yaakov and Esav? The answer is it did. Antoninus is the Gilgal of Esav. Rebbe is a spark of Yaakov Avinu. That's why he's called Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi, Nitzutz Shel Yaakov Avinu. What kind of name is Nasi? Why do you call him Nasi? Why don't you call him Prime Minister? The answer is because Nasi is Rosh Tevos, says Megala Mukos, Nitzutz Shel Yaakov Avinu. Why do we call him HaKadosh? Because what bracha did he compose? The first one is Magen Avraham. Gvurais is Yitzchak. But Rabbeinu HaKadosh is Ata Kadosh v'Shimcha Kadosh. That's for Yaakov Avinu. And therefore, says the Megal Amukos, Moshe Rabbeinu was Nespalel, El Brana Antoninos Esav Bimei Rabbeinu HaKadosh Na Nitzot Echad. Rebbe and Antoninus were one spark, because since they came from Yaakov and Esav, Yaakov and Esav were twins, and Rashi says in the Parsha, twins come from one tipa that's split up, so therefore they're considered Nitzot Echad. By the way, Avraham Avinu is which midah? The midah of Chesed. Yitzchak Avinu is the midah of Gevura. And what's Yaakov? Tiferes. Tiferes. Yeah? That's why Rebbe, when he makes his first appearance in Pirkei Avos, what's the first thing Rebbe says? Rebbe Oimer, Rebbe, who's the Gilgal of Yaakov, who is the midah of Tiferes, Rebbe says, Ezehi derech yishara sheyavar la'adam, koshi tiferes lo'isea, v'tiferes lo'i min ha'adam. Well, the Ben Ishchai takes us even further. When we say that every day Antoninus served Rebbe, the Chidah brings that Antoninus is the good of Esav, and Rabbeinu HaKadosh was the Nitzot of Yaakov Avinu. And therefore, they wanted to fulfill what Pasuk, V'rav Yavoy Tzayar. So Antoninus is getting down on all four, and Rebbe is climbing up on him and stepping on his back. So what does Rebbe say to him? Lav Oyrech Arotz, not Derech Arotz. You know what Rebbe was saying? It's very nice, you know, all of these Kabbalistic secrets that you're Esav and I'm Yaakov and I need to step on you, but it's not Derech Eretz. Maybe in Dinei Shamayim I need to step on you, but down here in this world we need to live with our feet on the ground. I can't be abusing you if you're the Melech, even if I'm Yaakov and you're Esav. And Antonina said, no, Halavai I should be your doormat in Olam Haba. Yes, we do need to do this. By the way, the Ben Ish Chai learns that later on in history, when Yaakov and Esav join up, Parshas Vayishlach, and Yaakov says, Nisa v'neilecha v'elcha l'negdecha. What does Esav mean when he says, we're going to travel and go and I'm going to walk opposite you? What Esav is saying is, we're going to leave Olam Hazeh, and we're going to come back in this world. And in the second time around, I'm going to go with you, I'm going to serve you as Antonina serves Rebbe. And then he says, Atsiga na imcha, I will station with you. Na Esav was saying, Nefesh Antoninus. That's what I have to give you. Esav tells Yaakov Avinu. So again, this is all foreseen or prophesied. And if Heim lo Yadu, if they didn't realize this, Mazlam Yadu, that ultimately the nevuah of Yeshiva Shem Ve'Ever, of Arav Yavoy Tzoyer, would be fulfilled in this great era in the years 161 CE to 180. Now, here's an important question. People always want to know about their kids. Are their kids more like them, or are their kids more like their wife? So usually it depends on the kid, and depends how well the kid is behaving. But are children more like their father, or are children more like their mother? So you say 50-50. Each one contributes half the DNA. Or, you know, it depends. Some kids are more like their father, some kids are more like their mother. So Rabbeinu Bechaye sets forth a very important principle. And Rabbeinu Bechaye says, you ever wonder why by the Malchus Beis David it always says, Ani avdecha ben Amos. What does David HaMelech say? I am your servant. Not Ani avdecha ben avodecha, but Ani avdecha ben Amosecha. David is saying that the person's personality is more affected, person's nature, a person's composition, a person's inclinations are more similar to their mother than they are their father. Not in every case, but in most cases. Not completely, but majority. Does that mean a person is 80% like their mother or 51% like their mother? I don't know. Somewhere in between. Says Rabbeinu Bechaye, why is this the case? Why does a person take on more of the personality of their mother than their father? Says Rabbeinu Bechaye, this is evidenced by the fact that when we talk about the Mekalel, we say, V'shem Imoy, the name of his mother. Why don't we say the name of his mother? Why don't we say the name of his father? Says Rabbeinu Bechaye, Kol mi sheniraboy simone azus upaslus roy livdoich achar imoy. If you see a bad guy, you should check into the mother. Ki ein safek, that there's some problem with the mother. And vice versa. Vitama davar. Why do we blame the mother Either way, in other words, the direction of a child, the nature, the mahus, the essence of the child is more connected to the nature of the mother. The answer is, okay, this is not, I'm not commenting on kashrus. You ask your local Orthodox rabbi, but I don't drink anything. But there are people out there, they love alcohol in a cherry casket. And I'm telling you, you could drink it, you can't drink it. But people enjoy it. What is it? You have wine, and it sits in a cherry casket, and the wine takes on the flavor of the barrel. So too, when a kid sits in the mother for 9 months, that affects the nature of the child. The child develops from the mother's cycle, from the mother's dam. He's misgadol bebeten imoy. Also, says Rabbi Mechaye, the child nurses from the mother. The nursing from the mother is what gives the nourishment of his emotional personality, and therefore the child takes on more of the characteristics of the mother than the father. Says Rabbi Mechaye, Yischayev sheyia tivoy nikshar b'teva ha'im yoisim b'teva av umasav doimim lamasi ha'im yoisim ma'ashidam loisav. But I know a guy that's exactly like his father. I'm not saying every single case. Majority, that's Rabbeinu Bechaye. I, scientists, don't say that because they never learned this Rabbeinu Bechaye. Okay? What can we do? But that's Rabbeinu Bechaye. Furthermore, historically, we know that the nursing of a certain individual actually has affected world history. Ad Hayom Hazeh. Who's that? We say in Hallel, Moshe v'yakeres habayis im habonim smecha halleluka. We talk about the im habonim smecha. Who's the im habonim smecha? Sarah. But here's the problem. You want to say im haben smecha, but Sarah only had one kid. So says the Psikta Rabasi, when Yitzchak was born, people started to say, Sarah, yeah, nice kid. Which garbage can did you find him in? Who gave it to you? So Sarah began nursing Yitzchak, and it was told to Sarah, the Medrash says, Ein hasha azu shel tznius. This is not a time for modesty. And the Psikta says, Sarah proceeded to nurse hundreds of little children. Says the Medrash, Amar Rav Pinchas HaKoyin ben Chomishim Rav Chilkia, Kaimasai shel Avram, Hayvisha v'nasa melilois, Mimila l'Avraham v'hayo umois olam aviyam es b'neyam etzosara, Shetanakoisam, L'kayim ha-shenemar, Heinika banim sara. So now, some of these parents brought their kids to test Sarah whether this is legit or not. Some of them brought their kids to be zoiche to nurse. Says the Medrash, those that brought their kids be'emes, they were zoiche, that anybody who nursed from Sarah was nisgayer sometime in history. If you ever see a ger, you should know somewhere back in his history, the parents nursed from Sarah. Those that went to check Sarah are great in this world. Nobody lost out, says the Medrash. Kol yare shamayim sheyesh ba'olam min oisem sheyinkum in chalav shel Sarah. Kol hat, and anybody who nursed from Sarah, even to test her, nizgadlu ba'olam hazeh. So you see somebody, they're the president of the United States, they're successful, they're wealthy, somewhere in their history, they nursed from Sarah. You see a Jew, every single Jew, their ancestors nursed from Sarah. I can only give you. In Hebrew, and banim couldn't be both. I don't know. That's the Medrash. That any ger that ever came out in history, somehow, somewhere down the line, nursed from Sarah. Anyone successful, somehow nursed from Sarah. So I'll tell you an interesting chiddush. The Chida in the Chaymes Anach, he learns that when Rivka said him, Kein lama ze anoichi, she said, Rivka had the following dilemma. Rivka said, I made a big blunder. You know, Avram Avinu, remember before he had Yitzchak, he had Yishmael. Why? Because Avram Avinu had impurities in him from his father and mother, from Terach and Amasloi. So he was smart. He took Hagar, he expelled from him all of the dirt, put it into Hagar, and everything came out in the Pera Adam. And then the next time around, Yitzchak came out as an oilo tamima. Oiva, Yitzchak made a big mistake. I should have given him a Shivcha Kenanis. He would have expelled whatever grime was in him. Then the Esav would have come out. And then I would have had a perfect son. I made a big mistake. I had children with Yitzchak right away. So now they have to console Rivka. So what do they tell Rivka? They say, don't worry, you didn't make a mistake. Shnei goyim bevitnech, Rebbe and Antoninus. You ready for this? They say, Rivka, Avraham had to do that. Why? Because you should know, you ever notice the phenomenon? There's so many geirim that have come out from Esav. Antoninus, Shnei Vavtalyoin, Rameyer, and others. Does anybody know any geirim that ever came out of Yishmael? No one of note has ever converted from Yishmael. Now that's an interesting statement. But others make the statement. Nothing good ever came out of Yishmael. You know why? Because Yishmael was pure zuhama, pure grime, pure poison. Avram expelled everything, got it out in Hagar, and Hagar had no redeeming qualities that ever was able to produce any gain from Yishmael. But Rivka, you're making a big mistake. The fact that Esau was in your womb, like Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar says, and he took on the cherry casket of the tzaddikas Rivka, so that influenced him that even though he was a Rasha, but he still had Kedusha Bepiv, Kitzayid Bepiv, and therefore out of Esau comes many, many Gerim. Why? Because as opposed to Hagar, Yishmael was in the womb of Hagar, but Esau was in the womb of Rivka. So despite the fact he was a Rasha, but that Avira of Kedusha influenced him greatly, that Gerim came out. But we could add that there's another reason why great Gerim have come out of Yitzchak, out of Esau. Because Esav nursed from Rivka. And just like anyone who nursed from Sarah, either they were they became Gerim or they became successful. Certainly, if the milk that Antoninus nursed from the mother of Rebbe made Antoninus appreciate the Torah and convert, certainly the Cholav HaKadosh that Esav nursed from Rivka certainly had a big influence him, as opposed to Yishmael, who nursed from Hagar. So says the Chidah, nothing ever came out of Yishmael.
Well, the tshuva didn't affect anything.
The fact that Yishmael did tshuva is somewhat of an enigma to me, but I don't know.
The term times that Abraham took Hagar back.
When he took her back?
Yeah. Keturah.
Keturah, correct? Yeah.
Zagar.
Yeah.
But he put it all the way to the.
So you mean why the kids after were.
Yeah. You see, there's a coming Ishmael. Well, he put it everything wrong. When he took it back.
I don't know.
He cannot
I hear it. Good question. I don't know. Okay. So we move on. And let's discuss the following. Something very interesting. Because on the one hand, Rabbi Isai, Rebbe, Antoninus was affected, Latoiv, by nursing from Rebbe's mother. But how about Rebbe? Let's discuss this. The Shvilei Pinchas, in his Likutei Ma'amarim, Tavshin Samachtes, he says an amazing pshat based on what we learned. That when they told Rivka, Shnei Goyim Bevitnech, Elo Antoninus for Rebbe, that what does that refer to? They said to her, don't worry. They said, you're going to have two great regimes, Antoninus and Rebbe, which Tosis brings down that in the merit that Antoninus nursed from Rebbe's mother, that inclined him for Kedusha. Let's look at Esau for a moment. Let's look at the guy. What color is he? What was his color scheme? You know, what did his room look like? Probably his mother put red wallpaper and a red diapers, right? Why? Because he's an Admoini. The Bereshis Rabbah says, Admoni Amar of Abba Bar Kahana, Ki'ilu Shoifech Damim. You look at him, you see he's a murderer. In fact, the Arizal says, he's Bechinas Dam Tameh, Besoid Hu Edoim. He eats red food, he wears red clothing. Everything about him is Dam, 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 Dam. But we know that there was something that sort of purified Esav, that something that there was a redeeming quality that came from him. Who's that? Antoninus. Now, how did the red Esav become purified? So we know there's a concept in the Gemara, in the Talmud. And it's actually a concept, Alpi Minhag as well. And that is the Gemara Nida and the Gemara Bechoris and Vav Amud Beis says, why is it that for a woman to become pregnant, she has to have a regular cycle? And then when she conceives, the cycle stops. And then when she gives birth, also the cycle is no longer. But instead of having dam, she's able to nurse. What is that process called? Dam nekar v'nasa chalav. The blood congeals, the blood clouds, and it becomes milk. There is a concept that the dam nida of a woman is transformed into chalav. Again, scientists don't know this yet because they never learned the Gemara in Bechairos. But the Gemara is saying that by Allah, the chemistry is such that the molecules of the dam are transformed into chalav. There's such a process. By the way, the Magen Avraham brings us the halacha. Magen Avraham says, what's the reason why we drink milk on Shavuos? Magen Avraham says, we know the 7 weeks that we count to Kabbalah Satayra are like the 7 weeks of a cycle of a woman, the dam nida. And then we get to Kabbalah Satayra, dam nekar, v'nasa cholav, the Magen Avraham says. So this principle is even used in halacha and to explain Minog Yisrael. So, the same way there's a concept, dam nekar, v'nasa cholav, what was the process that purified Antoninus? This is the very process. Esav, who's Admoini, whose dam, kilu shevich damim, kulay dam, is purified through the cholav of the mother of Antoninus, and that is the process of dam nekar, v'nasa cholav. But Marv Rabbeisai, we're still missing a few critical details. Because we've learned about how Antoninus was turned around. But does anybody know, what did Rebbe eat? When his parents were taking Antoninus to the Caesar, what was Rebbe eating? Cheerios, kemach soiles, what was Rebbe eating? The answer is, we have no idea. Tosfos doesn't say, Menoras Hamor doesn't say, and you can't make it up. But the Seder Hadoirois of Rabbi Chil Halperin, which is number 19, which is such an important historical work that the Chida wrote footnotes on the Seder Hadoirois, he brings the Tosfos with a one added detail. He says, "Dechshenoi lad Rebbe, gazar hakezar shaloi lamol, v'yeshes hakezar, the wife of the Caesar, loved his mother. She nursed him. And Rebbe was nursed by the mother of the Caesar. So where did the Seder Hadoris get this? Well, I mean, obviously, you know, you can't just make this up just because we're trying to figure out what Rebbe ate. You can't just say, well, probably. So, the Shvili Pinchas writes, but it's clear that the Seder Doirois, Kedarkoi, very often quotes from a Sefer, Gilgulei Neshamos, of the Rama Mipano. And the Rama Mipano writes openly that the mother of Antoninus nursed Rebbe during that period of time when Antoninus was nursed by the mother of Rebbe. Yeah? So this is in fact, Rama Mipano adds, incredibly, you know the story in Shabbos on Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis? There was a man whose wife died, and they left a little child, and he was not able to nurse, there was no one to feed the child, and miraculously the man began to nurse the child. Who is this man? Miraculously, the Gilgal of the mother of Antoninus, who nursed Rebbe, her reward was she was Nisgalgal to be the Yisrael who nursed this kid. That's the Rama Mipano. Okay. Kol Rozloi, honestly. That's from the Rama Mipano. But how does the Seder Hadoirois know that the mother of Antoninus nursed Rebbe? This comes from the Rama Mipano. Now, let's speak about this for a moment. Rebbe nursed from the mother of Antoninus. Are you allowed to nurse from a non-Jewish woman? Is that permitted? Is that kosher? Is that kosher food? Or is it treif? Is one allowed to nurse from a non-Jewish woman? And the answer is, it's 100% mutar.
100% what?
Mutar. Mutar.
Moshe Rabbeinu didn't take it and...
Moshe Rabbeinu was a shepherd, so we're also shepherds.
No, Moshe Rabbeinu went a lot.
Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai. We also go up there. We don't do everything. Moshe married a Kushis. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Cholav Mitzris Kacholav Yisraelis. It's kosher. It's OU, it's Badatz, it's both, it's Chasidah Sheshchita, it's whatever you want it to be. It's kosher l'mahajin. But you shouldn't do it. Don't let it. Look, the kid has nothing to eat. The kid's hungry. You don't have a choice. But if the kid has to eat, you should prefer that he nurse from a Jewish woman. The milk of a non-Jewish woman clouds the heart. It will produce a bad nature. If the wet nurse should also not eat tray food because it will come through in the milk. Also, you shouldn't feed a little kid something that's not kosher, because even though he's technically not responsible, nevertheless, it might damage him when he gets older. So the bottom line is, the Rama quotes, is it mutter, is it permitted, is it kosher to drink the milk of a non-Jewish woman? It's absolutely mutter, it's absolutely kosher, but it's better not to. And this comes from the Ran, in Masechta Avodah Zarah, quotes the Rajma, that since Moshe Rabbeinu, we know, when he was offered the possibility to nurse from Basia, he didn't want to, because the concept is Peh Ha'asa L'daber Mashchina, so we hope all of our children will reach that Madrega of Moshe Rabbeinu, so therefore it's a preference not to. It could disrupt the character of the child, because if Antoninus was influenced Latoiv by nursing from Rebbe's mother, probably if you nurse from a non-Jewish woman, it might influence you Lara, and therefore it's best to avoid it. So now let's ask ourselves the following question. Why would the Mesabiv Sevivos, why would the Hashgacha al Yoina have it such that Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, should have to be in such a situation where he was forced to nurse from the mother of Antoninus? After all, I'll tell you a little secret, friends. If you look back in Tosfos, in number 6, Tosfos introduced the episode, not with Cholov Metaher, that the pure milk of Rebbe's mother was Metar Antoninus, but Cholov Metame, which is a little bit of a clue, that somehow the fact that Rebbe had to nurse from the mother of Antoninus had an adverse effect on Rebbe. And if that's the case, why would the Ribbono Shel Olam orchestrate that Rebbe should be in such a situation? So, it is suggested in the Shvilei Pinchas, quite a remarkable concept and idea, is that we have in this week's parsha that Rivka realizes that Yitzchak's life is coming to an end, and Yitzchak wants to bless Esav, and Rivka says to Yaakov, you got to take the blessings. And Yaakov says, but he's going to realize it's me. So Rivka says, get your best Esav costume. So why didn't Rivka just go to a costume store? What's that place under the tracks? Rubies. Go to Rubies. Get like a hairy bear costume. Right? And that's it. Why does Rivka have to like put herself in danger, go into Esav's closet? You know what kind of traps Esav could have had? You know what kind of like security he might have had? This was Nimrod's jet. Just get a good hairy costume and finished. Why put yourself in jeopardy to put on Esav's clothing? So the Chassam Sofer says a wondrous idea that he heard from his Rebbe. That here's the problem. Rivka goes to Yaakov. Yaakov's the Ishtam. Yaakov couldn't say a lie. You could pay him, you could hit him. He can't bring himself to say a lie. So, but Yaakov's going to have to go in front of Yitzchak. He isn't going to say, is that you, Esav? And Yaakov's going to have to say, yeah. So then that's all over. You know, Yaakov has to learn to lie. It's impossible for someone like Yaakov. But we know that clothing influences you. The only way that Yaakov could pull this off is if he puts on Esav's begadim. That would be mashbi on him a little bit, lara, that at least under these circumstances, l'dvar mitzvah, zahira shah of Es, lasos l'ashem, says Chassam Sofer, he'll be able to be meshaker to save Klal Yisrael. Because, you know, Es, lasos l'ashem, hefiru tayrosecha. The only way for Yaakov to be hefiru tayrosecha is to put on the big day Esav. So Rebbe has a problem. Because the most important thing that Rebbe would ever have to do would be to be Hefiru Tarasecha. Because are you allowed to write down the Torah Shebaal Peh? You're not allowed to write down the Torah Shebaal Peh. It's one of the 613 mitzvahs in the Torah. It's a lav in the Torah. That Dvarim Shabachsav You're not allowed to put the oral to writing. So you think Rabbeinu HaKadosh would ever be able to actually be mefir Torasecha and put the oral law to writing? How could he bring himself to do such a thing? So suggests the Shulei Pinchas, therefore the Mesabiv HaSvivos, the Mashgiach HaElyon, had it such that in the beginning of the development of Rebbe, he nursed a little bit from the mother of Antoninus. After all, Antoninus was a Gilgal of Esav, so they had some of that Esav quality into it, that at least Rebbe would have it within him that never chas v'shalom to be mefer Torasecha, but at least if it's begeder es lasa es Hashem, he nursed from the mother of Rebbe, and this gave him the possibility that under those circumstances he would be able to put the Torah Shebal Peh to writing. But Haflav a fella, at the end of Rebbe's life, Rebbe suffered. The Gemara Bava Metzia says on Daf Pehei Amud Aleph, number 25, Amar Rebbe, Chavivin Yisurin. Rebbe said, Yisurin are very beloved, and therefore, Kibal Alei Tlei Sarshani. Rebbe accepted upon himself 13 years of Yisurin. Now, what kind of Yisurin did Rebbe accept upon himself? Ingrown toenail, knee replacement. What exactly did Rebbe need? What exactly did Rebbe accept? Rebbe accepted a toothache for 13 years. Where were all the dentists? They were in Brooklyn, but not in Sipori. Am Rabbi Yossi Bar Avin, Kol Oysen Yud Gimel Shana, Shayachoy Shesh Rebbe Yashinov, Lo Hipilo Ubra Be'eretz Yisrael Netzar HaYoldos. Rebbe protected Klal Yisrael for 13 years with a toothache that lasted for 13 years. Says Rav Pinchas Friedman, why did Rebbe accept a toothache for 13 years? The answer is, what ingredient, what mineral, what product that we imbibe creates one's teeth? Milk. Chachlile einayim miyayin. His eyes are red from wine. Ulaven shinayim mechalav. And the whiteness of the teeth comes from milk. Suggests the Shvile Pinchas, perhaps, even though Rebbe had to nurse from Antoninus' mother, and the Rebbe Shem orchestrated that way, in order for Rebbe to be able to be made for Tarasecha, the situation of Eis Lasis Hashem. But nevertheless, Rabbeinu HaKadosh wanted a tikkun for that, and he was mekabel on himself Yisurim for 13 years, because Rebbe said, look, I did it to be Doirish, the Torah, but Yud Gimel, Midoy Shatar, Nidresh Esvahem, and therefore Rebbe was mekabel 13 years of Ke'ev, Shinayim. This is what Tosfos means. Cholav metaher, cholav metame. But the great relief of Rivka when she heard that Klal Yisrael would be saved in the 19 years that Antoninus and Rebbe had this clandestine relationship where Antoninus humbled himself and fulfilled the nevuah of Verav Yavoid Tzoyer. We should be zoicha to this nevuah b'milua that all kol amei aretz should see Kishem Hashem Nikra Aleinu V'yaru Mimenu. We should be zaycha to the fulfillment of this nevuah V'rav Yavoy Tzar Shkoyach.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.